Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Louise Myersh has been on a decades-long journey to uncover the story of her Uncle Frank, one of New Zealand's most prominent deer hunters of his era. By 1965, at the age of 30, Frank Ersig had established a reputation as a prominent marksman and mountaineer. Leah Tebbutt caught up with Louise to hear about Frank and the history of the deer culling industry in New Zealand.
We knew about our Uncle Frank, that he was an adventurous, interesting man who led a really quite fascinating life for his sadly short life. But no, there weren't many family stories and there weren't many photos. So he really was someone that I grew to want to discover and write about.
And that you've done, you know, over the past, is it two decades, you've undertaken a lot of research and it's all compiled into your book, Finding Frank. I'm guessing you have a better picture of who he was, which, you know, the book was essentially about the life of your uncle, but in fact I think it's also turned into the history of the deer culling industry in New Zealand as well.
Yes, it has, yes. And that came about because if I was writing about Frank and his years as a deer culler, and I needed to know what led up to that, why these men were out in the mountains eradicating what was then known as a pest, what his work was and where it came from, why there were so many deer. So from the 1930s, when deer culling first started, to 1956, they killed over a million deer. And Frank came in 1956 when the New Zealand Forestry Service took over from Internal Affairs, and that there was too many deer, according to the government of the day, and they had to be eradicated. And I think he loved the thrill of it all, because he was more of a South Island shooter, so he was Canterbury, Central Otago and the West Coast and definitely South Westland down the Haast area. So that's very, very mountainous terrain and difficult passes that he would have to cross over. And I just think he loved it. He loved those challenges and he loved the country.
What amazes me is talking about the difficult terrain that he was in, and nowadays we obviously have more advanced technology and in terms of really mountaineering across parts of the world that people probably hadn't had much experience on. You know, do you know what it was like to be that in those days?
Well, yeah, I mean, they just really knew how to look after themselves. They didn't have, like you say, the modern technology that we have today. Very basic equipment. They had to know how to get through those mountain passes and get out of difficult situations. And they really did learn on their feet. They might have a rudimentary place to sleep. They may have made a little lean-to tent. They may have found a what's called a dry rock and slept under that. They may have crossed a very trickling stream in the morning to go out for a day's hunt, and then the rain would come down, especially on the west coast. And so that small stream that they crossed over in the morning, ankle deep, was a torrent that they'd have to wait out to get back over. So they had nothing. They were on their own.
And do you know what happened to that deer culling industry? How did that sort of wind down?
Frank was right on the cusp of it winding down. So what happened was the helicopters came in. They realised that there was money to be made in the venison. So rather than all those years of the government hunters shooting the beast, the meat decaying, they realised with the helicopters coming in they could retrieve the animals off the mountain, and it was the beginning of the venison export industry in New Zealand, which hasn't stopped. So, yes, to answer your question, it was the helicopters.
And, I mean, speaking of helicopters, we've mentioned that Frank's life was short, but I understand that was the result of him and his friend were killed in a helicopter hunting accident. And it was the first helicopter hunting accident, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was just awful, awful, tragic event. So the accident happened on June the 1st, 1965, and it was in the Matukituki Valley, just west of Wanaka, fairly high up, just above the Tussock line on the mountains. So Frank was with his hunting mate, Johnny Cumming, and on that day, while dragging deer carcasses to the craft, they came into contact with the rotor blades and both died instantly. About 6 months later, they employed a different system where they had a long cargo strop so that the helicopter was elevated away from the ground and the deer were clipped on and hauled off the mountain that way, so you could not come into contact with the blades. But yes, they ended both Frank and Johnny's lives. I think Johnny was only 29 and Frank was in his 30th year. Really horrible.
With that small hazy image that you have as a preschooler in your head, what is your memory of him now that you know everything that you know? Obviously, you don't have a tangible memory, but, I mean, what's the image that you now have of your uncle in your head after this project?
Well, you're bringing tears to my eyes right now because Frank's always been here with me on this journey. I just have gotten to know him over these past, actually, 25 years. It was 1998 that I started out this journey. I just feel so grateful and so full of love for this journey that, in a way, we've both been on. He will be a part of New Zealand's history.
Louise Myersh talking about her uncle Frank Ersig. And you can learn more about Frank and the deer culling industry in Louise's book, Finding Frank.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.